superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Bob, Susie wanted to send my best.
So I love you. Right, give my love to Susie. That's another one. I want her, you to know that I'm in love with her.
I love you, Bob Saget.
I love you, Rich Eisen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Jackpot, baby! Let's go to Cincinnati!
And the Steelers are headed for playoff land.
The Indianapolis Colts, who were thinking about the playoffs, that is over now.
Earlier on the show, host of Peacock's Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio. Still to come. Actor Joe Manganiello. Plus, your phone calls, Overreaction Monday, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hey, everybody. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. It's all about you. We're taking your phone calls in this third hour. So much to react to. So much is going on. Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace out as the coach and general manager of the Bears. Rick Spielman and Mike Zimmer out as the general manager and coach of the Vikings. The Dolphins surprisingly bounced Brian Flores as their head coach, but held on to their general manager, Chris Greer, today. The Giants bade farewell in the most anticipated and not surprising and expected retirement of their general manager, Dave Gettleman, whose years in New York, New Jersey, easily one of the worst general manager resumes handed in, and certainly in New York sports, maybe of all time. And that throws John Isaac into that equation too for the Jets. You know, just Gettleman had a better face front than Isaac. But at any rate, that's the latest of going on today. As for yesterday, our reaction to it, if you missed anything in hour number one, please go to our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. We talked about everything yesterday from soup to nuts, how the day ended with an almost tie. And we had spent days last week talking about the possibility of a tie on Sunday Night Football, sending both teams into the playoffs and sending the Steelers home. But of course, the Jaguars had to beat the Colts, and that all happened. That all happened, and then the kick finally went through the uprights with no time left last night, finally sending the Steelers to the playoffs after it looked like they were definitely making it earlier in the day. The longest day ever, the longest Sunday Night Football game ever, belongs to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they didn't even play in it. And one of my favorites joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show, back here, Steeler faithful, Steeler honk, great actor Joe Manganiello back here on the show. How are you, Joseph?
Well, I'm pretty good, Rich. I mean, I'm exhausted, but good. I feel like I'm hungover today, and I had nothing to drink.
I was about to say, you're not. I mean, you're not a nervous eater, are you? I mean, you don't eat anything that's bad for you. But what about yesterday?
I ate an entire Papa John last night.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah. Garlic sauce on the crust, the whole thing. I mean, I was eating all day. Are you kidding me? It was nuts. What a crazy day. I mean, that was like one of the all-time wildest days of my life watching football.
What were you and your Steeler buddies texting about? Walk me through that day.
All woke up just thinking, okay, it's 10 a.m. in L.A. I'm going to, I woke up early, made the coffee, walked the dog. I thought, okay, I'm going to watch Ben's last game. And that's okay, and we're going to say goodbye to him. And then I looked at the score of the Jaguars game, and I thought, oh, my God, wait a second. And then I looked at our score, which was, that game was sluggish. That was like a horrible first half game. And I just thought, man, Ben's a fourth quarter master. So I thought, maybe he's got enough in the tank to put us over the top in the fourth quarter, and certainly he did, and then took that into overtime, 4th and 8. I mean, the guy like was out of his mind in the fourth quarter in overtime, and that put us in that kind of position where all we need is for the Raiders and Chargers not to die.
And then
And then, yeah, I know. It's like, if it weren't for that timeout, Rich, I think they just would have let it run out.
I don't know. I think that timeout that Brandon Staley popped off, to me, was him making sure that they wouldn't attempt a field goal, right? To make sure that they knew that there was a run coming, not a kneel down coming, or at least they assumed that there was not. And they fired off that timeout that I think they would have just run the ball with Josh Jacobs that one last time and run the risk of the Pisarcik, you know, miracle at the Meadowlands would have been a disaster in the desert, right? That's what we would have been calling it if that had happened.
Yeah.
That's what I think. And had you had the Chargers stopped it, I don't think they would have knelt down instead of taking a 60-yard field goal. I think that's what happened. And I know you'd have been livid, I imagine, right?
I mean, just the length of the field goal, it just seemed like, you know, there's no way this is going to happen. You know, and then it's like timeout, big gain, and then bang, you know. They're in great field goal position. It was insane. I mean, the person I feel the worst about was there's a guy who put a $200 bet down, 157,000 to one, that the Jaguars would win, the Steelers would win,
and the tie,
and then the Raiders and Chargers would tie.
I didn't hear about that.
It would have paid out $31.4 million. It's one of the guys I went to high school with. So that was in the text thread. Hey, my buddy put down this bet.
What? No, your buddy put down what bet? Say that one more. I know what the parlay was, but how much?
My best friend in high school.
Yeah.
His buddy put down the bet, $200. He put down $200, 157 to one, and it would have paid out $31.4 million. It's like the Powerball reading every number except the last one. He needed that tie.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
Where is that guy today? Have we followed up?
I don't know. So he should be on 24-hour watch, I think.
Did he hedge at all?
I'm not sure. I mean, all I know is that he did put down that bet. So I'm not sure what the, you know, if he had other things going.
Joe Manganiello here in the Rich Eisen Show. That throw that Ben threw to Deontay Johnson right on the right on the sideline in overtime, and then Johnson drops the next one, and then Ray McLeod kind of grabs it and stumbles backwards while juggling the ball. I mean, holy crap! But it finally did pay off, and now how are you? I'm assuming you and Stone Street are tight through your wife, right? So how is that working for next Sunday night? For Steelers Chiefs, how are we working this one, Joe?
I don't know. You know, I mean, I really don't talk football with him. You know, it's one of those things where, like, you know, it's kind of like nouveau riche versus old money. You know,
we've been there,
done that. You know, we wear it a little differently. You know what I mean? To somebody who just comes out of nowhere and starts winning, so there's a bit of a difference in how we carry ourselves.
Like a Rolex versus Richard Mille, kind of.
Oh my.
Nothing wrong with the Richard Mille. I'll say that.
Of course not.
Oh.
But I'm just saying, you know. It would be more like a diamond-encrusted Breitling or something, you know.
Gotcha. Wow. Yeah. That is a better answer than I could have ever imagined. Oh, my gosh. Come on. I mean, Big Ben's playing with the old house money now, right? I mean, this is it, right?
That's the beautiful thing is that this thing continues. We get another week out of it. You know, we get to watch Ben. And also, like, you know, things happen. Oh, that's why we play the games. You know, it's so exciting to have no pressure whatsoever and no one's going to pick us. And that's kind of a beautiful thing.
That's true. How about this? How about Melvin Ingram, the old hostage, right? Isn't that what Tomlin referred to him as? We don't want hostages. We want volunteers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's the one that blew up Melvin Gordon to send the Chiefs into the two seed.
Yeah. But here's the thing with Ingram. Like, I understand, you know, the guy's coming off of an injury. He's on a one-year deal. He needs to play. He needs to prove himself. This is a gamer. You know, this is a guy who's going to be around. So I get that. But here's the thing. The guy's had, what, two sacks and one forced fumble since he joined the Chiefs, and his backup in Pittsburgh has two sacks and one forced fumble. So, you know, I understand that, like, Ingram seems like the missing piece over there, which is what, you know, kind of like what Minka Fitzpatrick was to us 2 years ago when we got him. All of a sudden, things just clicked on the defense, and, you know, unfortunately, you know, we now have to face their team, and it looks like Ingram was that missing piece.
Tomlin versus Reed, Mahomes versus Big Ben. That's why they put this Sunday night, man.
I was at the last game in Arrowhead, the last playoff game in Arrowhead,
oh,
where the Steelers won by only kicking field goals, and then Antonio Brown, Facebook Live from the locker room during Tomlin's speech. I was at that game.
Yeah, I don't know if you're aware, he's still active on social media, Joe. I don't know if you saw that or not.
Well, yeah. I mean, believe me, as Pittsburgh fans, I got to tell all my Patriot fans, I told you so. Because when they got AB, all of them were like, we got AB, what's up? Yeah, you guys. And I'm like, just wait. Just wait.
He was great for one game.
Yeah, I said I would give it 2 weeks, and it was actually 1 week.
And how about Brady throwing it to Le'Veon? I mean, everybody, you can't quit them, Joe. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. But I love it. The nouveau riche, Kansas City Chief fan, Eric Stone Street. This is going to be fun, Joe. This is going to be fun. All right, so I'm glad you survived yesterday. Congratulations on that.
What an insane day of football. I mean, just incredible.
Yeah, I mean, that is one last thing, too, Joe. I just want to hit on for what you said before. You said you walked your dog. Your dog walks?
Like, very rarely.
Bubbles walks? Bubbles, like,
touch the ground.
I was about to say, like, it seems like you're constantly carrying Bubbles everywhere. That little chihuahua, the hairless chihuahua, it seems like Bubbles is carried everywhere. Like, you actually leash this dog up, and does Bubbles look at you and say, really, you want me to walk? Like, your dog must not really expect that.
I mean, well, most of the time she's perched on my shoulder like a pirate parrot.
But, like Beretta? Like Beretta?
She's actually like really funny, like, and very curious. So she does run around quite a bit, especially like when I was over in Ireland for 4 months.
Yes.
Like, we, you know, I'd take her to the park and she'd just like run around and chase pigeons and squirrels and stuff. So
Bubbles. Bubbles has made it on the screen right here. Okay.
All
right, Joe. The dream of you having a Los Angeles Super Bowl with the Steelers in it is still alive right now. We're still here.
Alive, and I want to give a huge shout out to T.J. Watt. That was part of the emotional roller coaster of the day as well. Was he gonna match or beat my buddy Michael Strahan from Magic Mike XXL?
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. That's right. Stray was in that movie.
Yeah,
I remember.
Believe me, and listen, they cut it out. It was like 10 times as filthy. Like, they were just, Soderbergh was just trying to keep Michael Strahan's job with the way he edited that.
Are you there's Soderbergh director's cut footage that could derail everything that Strahan has built?
Yeah, like, you know, like the Snyder cut. There's a Soderbergh cut out there that would get Michael Strahan fired, and he would never go to outer space. He wouldn't be allowed in orbit.
Do we need a hashtag? Should we get this going? Release the Soderbergh cut?
Release the Soderbergh cut. And Strahan's like, no way.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Did anything in that Soderbergh cut look like the spaceship that he took into space?
Hey, now.
Is that wrong?
Hey, now.
Is that wrong?
Well, you know, Michael Strahan got airborne at one point, so I'll just say that.
Airborne?
He got some lift off.
What is happening?
Exactly. I'll leave it at that.
Very good.
You can run your imagination. Let it run wild.
Joe Manganiello, everybody. All right, Joe. We'll chat soon.
Thanks a lot. Oh, and big shout out to the Mount Lebanon High School football team for winning the Pennsylvania State Championship. Way to go, guys.
All right.
Mount Lebo.
There you go. Joe is as rock solid to his roots as anybody else. All right, Joe. By the way, I've already booked, and this is before you came on. Stone Street's supposed to be on next Monday after the game. So he feels confident to say yes to appear on this program the day after the game, the nouveau riche Stone Street.
There we go. We'll hear it. He'll have a week to formulate his response, I'm sure.
There we go. Well done, Joe. Take care of yourself.
All right, I'll see you, Rich.
Joe Manganiello, everybody.
The best.
What an answer. Nouveau riche.
I was not expecting that.
He's old school. I thought he'd be like, you know what, we're playing. I'd be humble. Oh, no, he just went the exact opposite, which I know talks your language.
I'd love it.
Alan Dallas, let's get him on the phone. What's up, Albert? You okay?
You know what, Rich, first and foremost, I'm sorry for your loss. I know you were pretty close with Bob.
Yeah, we were friends, man, and Susie too.
You can get that. You know when you're talking to friends and when you're talking to people, and you guys always did a great job, and he will be sorely missed. 65, You know, that age, Rich, is becoming way too young for you guys like you and I, right? We're seeing that around the corner, and when people pass at such an early age, it's terrible.
Not wrong, brother.
Now, unfortunately, you know, it's becoming like Fredo Monday. You know, it's not what Pop wanted, it's what I wanted. But, you know.
That's a great line.
Here's the problem. You fire Joe Judge. Maybe you get Flores, but you need a GM. There's no other options out there. Being a head coach in the NFL is a hard job, and a lot of guys can't do it well. If you looked at what happened last night, there is no great replacement. You know, to quote Rick Pitino, Bill Parcells not walking through that door. Bill Belichick's not walking through that door. Ray Hanley. Oh wait, I'm sorry.
I know.
He's not going to be walking through.
Let's hope not.
There's nobody to replace him with.
No, there's definitely somebody to replace who Joe Judge with.
I mean. Honestly, like, who are you going to go out and get? I mean, I'm not saying, look, you could find it, but at this stage, the coaching carousel. I mean, we're going to hire a guy who has no experience again. The coach.
I don't know. Maybe you just stroll in a BlackRock across the river and you say to Calher, "Here's your check," or you say to David Shaw, "Here's your check," and you write it. Like, they've got the money to hire somebody that like crazy, but you know, somebody's got to basically say, what's your plan and who's your quarterback and what have you, you know, but to hire somebody with no experience is just not the way to go. Jim Caldwell. No. I'd rather the Giants hire Jim Caldwell right now.
He would handle it better. I mean, this is like Ali Sherman type days. This is like Basarczyk. This is a disgrace.
I don't know if you heard what I said before, that Joe Judge for that formation on third and long to basically give up, say, we're a professional football team that doesn't trust our newbie quarterback to try and put the ball at risk by trying to get a first down. You know, we got Barkley, we got Saquon freaking Barkley, God. And we're gonna just take a knee. In the middle of the second quarter of a game, we're trailing 3-0. What the hell was that?
It's unfortunate.
What was that?
You know, I watched zero football yesterday. I saw all the highlights I needed to see, and I'm embarrassed and I'm ashamed.
Dude, you missed a hell of a day, though. I mean, and
I know.
Thanks for the call.
Sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
Happy New Year to you. That's Alan in Dallas. More of your phone calls when we come back right here on The Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Don't go anywhere. Good stuff still in store. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Back here on our terrestrial radio outfit, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Let's go through the phone lines here. Casey in California, you're here on The Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Casey?
Hey, Hey, Rich. First-time caller here. I just want to let you know that as a Cowboys fan in enemy territory, I am not at all worried about Kyler Murray. I mean, I'm not at all worried about the 49ers at all.
Really?
I would much rather face a Jimmy Garoppolo than a Kyler Murray because I think Jimmy Garoppolo not being the most mobile quarterback in the world, I think Micah Parsons is going to have a three-course meal on Sunday afternoon.
Well, I mean, that's one way to look at it. They're also really physical and really stout to match, I guess, the Dallas Cowboys' physical nature. You know, Zeke needs to have one of those Zeke days. Pollard needs to have one of those days, too. And I can't wait for it. I think it's going to be a heck of a matchup. I think the fact that you're not worried should worry you because the Niners aren't a joke, man. They are one of those teams that can hit you and slash their running backs at you, and you better put points on the board.
Debo is a problem.
Debo is a problem.
He's a problem.
Ayuk has suddenly
become
a
problem.
And Kittle is maybe their best player. And that's saying a lot.
We got receivers, too. And I just, you know, with Garoppolo's tendency to throw interceptions, I do not see a high scoring game here from Jimmy Garoppolo. I think they'll run on us. But, you know, I Thanksgiving's going to be real tough this year if they win. I'm telling you that right now.
All right, there you go. Well done. Thanksgiving's tough for the Cowboys every year these days, to be very honest with you.
Not even worried about the 49ers?
That's crazy talk.
See, that was a troll comment, what Rich just said.
What is?
Thanksgiving's tough for the Cowboys every year.
These days, what's wrong with that? What happened to the Raiders this year? What happened against
the
Bills? What happened against the Washington football team?
I'm just giving you a difference between a troll comment and a gif. There's a difference.
No, but I'm saying it in real time, and it's a fact, and you waited 37 minutes to in wait.
Because I didn't see it.
I tweet out when the game's 17 all that Gardner Minshew and the shorthanded Eagles are not there for the Cowboys rebounding to head into the playoffs, so they had a steam storyline, which was true at 17 all. And then at 30-17, I get a big Sean gif from within the house in my home where my children come and play with their toys.
In my home.
Great line from Al in Dallas.
I mean,
that it's Fredo Mondays
is great.
It's what Pop wanted. It's not what I wanted.
It's not what I wanted.
Very good.
That's Al knows. John Mara. Pop, you know, Pop wanted, you know, Wellington Mara's name was on the football. And the Giants are as bad a team as the NFL has seen over a 4 or 5 year stretch in any 4 or 5 year stretch of anybody. These last years of the Giants. I'm not lying. I'm not stuttering on that one either. Kurt in Dayton, Ohio. What's up, Kurt? You there, Kurt?
He's up.
Let's put Kurt back on hold. I don't mean to put the Ziggy on you, sir, over there. Okay?
Me?
Yes, you and your household. But I feel good about your team tonight.
Big game tonight.
National championship game is tonight. By the way, how great were Fowler and Herbstreit calling that game on Saturday? Chiefs and Denver. That was fun to listen to them.
It was fun.
Listen to them.
I don't know what's going to happen tonight.
I think, I don't know. Would you say your team's got the house money coming in?
Why?
Because
I don't buy this house money.
Oh, I just,
for anything.
I just think that they're, all right, so let's remove that then. I think what I saw against my team was an angry, pissed off team.
That got
their hat handed to them by Alabama. And I don't think they're going to countenance that tonight.
Yeah, I think they were really feeling themselves going into the SEC championship and got really humbled and then kind of built that up for 4 weeks before the semifinal game, kind of took it out on Michigan. And, you know, Alabama didn't look that great.
More likely
against Cincinnati.
More likely storyline tomorrow. Alabama's got Georgia's number still. Yeah. Or Georgia needed that loss to Alabama to win it all.
Yeah, I would say that's more likely. Georgia's
that
not
means
gonna,
you think Georgia's going to win tonight.
I think Georgia's going to win, but I think it's going to – Georgia wins a close game. Alabama wins blowout. You know what I mean? So we'll see which way it's going kind of early.
I told you who my favorite player on that team is, right?
Well, you want him on the Jets.
Oh, God, do I want him on the Jets? And they've got so many players that I would want on the Jets. You know, on that defensive line.
Yeah.
What's – and I'm sorry. I just didn't want to pay too much attention. What's the name of their tight end? What's the name of that guy?
Oh, man.
I don't mean
Brock something. Hold on. He's from Napa Valley.
Oh, yeah, the freshman, right?
Yeah.
The guy who runs Hills, right?
Yeah.
What's the name of that kid? I should know his name because he
Brock
was,
Bowers.
He was like Forrest Gump.
Yeah, Brock Bowers.
He's so good. And then they got somebody who's 9 feet tall, right? Who wears number zero as well. And then they've got... you know,
like a Dalvin Cook's brother.
They got their own Cook.
N'Kobe Dean and Jordan Davis.
That's the one.
Yeah.
N'Kobe Dean.
Yeah.
That's the one. I want my Jets to have their own Roquan Smith. That's who I want. That's the guy I want. That's who I want. I want him to ball out, but not enough to get higher than fourth or fifth overall with the Jets currently might be.
So no pick six, two sacks tonight or anything for him?
Mm-mm-mm. That was the game wrecker. In the Orange Bowl. He's the one who blew up all those Michigan plays. That Michigan was blocking it all up. I told you this.
Yeah.
They were blocking it all up and running plays that were very successful in the Big Ten season, and then all of a sudden they were ready to have big gains, and this guy just flew in out of nowhere and just blew it up. But Alabama's got their usual drill. That's going to be a lot of fun tonight. But I like your team tonight.
I hope so.
I'm going to go with Georgia.
Hey, let's go.
In this one tonight. Let's go to Alton in Tampa, Florida. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Alton?
Hey, Rich, thank you for taking my call. As a Colts fan, I know a lot of us are going to look at it subjectively, but it wasn't just, I feel like, the last game against the Jaguars. I figured it was the three games to start of the season. Wentz came in expecting a better line, better defense, and honestly, some weapons. And I feel like we have Michael Pittman Jr. as a wide receiver two at best, so I know we're talking about getting rid of Wentz, but should he even want to stay with the depletion of how we were from last year to this year?
Yeah, because he's got a coach who believes in him and who knows how to unlock his talents more than anybody else has proven that in the NFL. He should be wanting to stay there. He should set his roots there. He should try and open a hospital there just like another quarterback if he could. Right. You know, I'm serious. Like, he should never want to leave there. You got that running back behind him? Oh, my God. That terrific offensive line in front of him, they've got the pieces. We saw what happened in between week six and 16. We saw it. They were a team that just couldn't be stopped. They were a team that hit you in the mouth. They were a team that loved hitting you in the mouth on offense. It's just Wentz took some time in order to get, you know, his feet wet. His feet. Thanks for the call too. His feet got. Both of his ankles sprained. Remember that against the Rams early on in the season?
Yep.
He missed a game. And then they started playing football. And this is how things change, man. Wentz got COVID, remarkably, despite being unvaccinated, was able to not miss a game. He played and he looked lost. He didn't look himself. This is no joke, man. I mean, your conditioning's got to be ready to get back out there, and maybe he was deemed safe to play, but he didn't look the same. Raiders took care of that one, didn't it? And then in the second half yesterday, the Wentz of Philadelphia returned. Couldn't hold on to the ball. There was one interception that was ruled not an interception because the ball hit the ground, but it was a third and long in which the receiver was open, he airmailed him, and they were lucky to not have that one a turnover. Got it back. That one was thrown as a pick. That was his first interception of the year on the road. He had a terrific year, Carson Wentz.
Yeah, but nobody's going to remember that.
Well, we're going to remember the fact that they had a chance to win it in Jacksonville and couldn't.
Blow it.
Here's an interesting stat. You ready for this one? This is unbelievable, and I'm sure Colts fans don't want to hear it, but it's kind of too bad. But I've got it right here. Let me make sure. I wasn't expecting to say it, but I'll say it.
Most consecutive home wins versus a divisional opponent active streak. Jaguars over the Colts is 7. That's the 5th.
7.
Best active streak. You want to hear the other ones?
What do we got?
So
this is home wins against
a division opponent.
Okay.
Home wins in a row. The Philadelphia Eagles over the Giants. They've won 8 in a row over the Giants in Philadelphia. And this is what's going to drive the Colts fans nuts. The Titans over the Jaguars. So the Jaguars are on this list twice. Once as having beaten their opponent, and once also being the Washington Generals of the equation. To another team's globetrotter.
What?
All right. Then it's the Patriots over the Jets at 13.
Oh, wow.
How about this? My
13.
My annual pain of the Jets visiting New England just got bar mitzvahed this year. This streak is now officially a man. And the other streak can now officially, buy some alcohol.
Oh.
Right? 18? Is that the legal age?
No, 21. Oh, shit. Come on now.
Pardon me. Oop. 18. So that's, this is.
In Canada, they can
okay.
Right,
right, right.
In
Canada. Drive in some state. 18.
Vote, Rich. Vote.
Steelers over the Browns. You know what that means? Big Ben will
never
have played his entire career.
Never lost to the Browns.
Correct. At home. Remember when we had him on last week and he's like, they didn't draft me? And he says, I know people like Brady use that to this day. Well, Big Ben went through his entire playing career, never lost to the Browns at home. Never.
Yeah, and barely lost on the road.
Never.
Career record 26-2-1 against the Browns.
By the way, but I'm sure Browns fans will raise their hand and say this. It must be a regular season stat since they went into Pittsburgh and beat them in the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
And yes, it is. It is a regular season statistic. Because
yeah.
The Jets did beat New England in New England.
In the playoffs.
In the playoffs, yeah. Right? It hasn't been that long since Rex left, right? 13 years? It has been.
2010.
Let's go back to the phone lines right here. Joe in Florida, you're on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Joe?
Hello there, Mr. Eisen. How you doing today?
I'm hanging in there. There's so much to talk about today. It's ridiculous.
I know. I mean, Black Monday, all that stuff. I'm seeing reports of, I know Michigan, you're a Wolverines guy. Jim Harbaugh's apparently staying back there. That's a good thing.
Well, I mean, have you breaking news to me that I have not seen? I have not seen that is definitive that he is not leaving.
I've seen reports from Mr. Florio that he could be staying put in Michigan with a raise. It's on his website. Great website, by the way.
Okay. What's on your mind?
So I'm at, like, you just had the gentleman from Tampa. I'm actually in that area as well, but I'm not a fan of Tampa. I'm a fan of Atlanta. I'm a Falcons fan.
Okay.
So yesterday, you know, we finished the season. We finished 7-10, third place in the division. I was mainly wanting to know, like, your thoughts on how Atlanta did this year. I know you probably follow them a little bit, with coverage on them. So I was like, let me get his your thoughts, Mr. Eyes, on how they performed. I know Mr. Brockman and Mr. Jefferson over there, they've got their thoughts on Atlanta's performance against their teams, but that's neither here nor there.
Well, here, and I appreciate the call. So if you don't mind, you just hang up and listen here.
Be good, Joe.
Here's the deal, is how much more different the Falcons season would have been had they not chosen Pitts at 4. We are all talking about how Pitts is had a 1,000-yard season. But how many times did Cordarrelle Patterson changed their fortunes more often than not than Pitts this year? And the issue with Matt Ryan and moving forward with him, what if they had gotten Fields at 4? Right? Would Nagy still have a job in Chicago? Because there would be nothing like that hanging over their head. Would they have gotten somebody else at the quarterback position? I don't know. But I'm just saying, like, what would they have done if they had had that Ryan or Kidd situation? Or what if they had gotten, and I know this is unfair because we didn't know he was that good, what if they chose Parsons fourth overall? Mm. What if they had chosen Ja'Marr Chase fourth overall? Clearly didn't know what was happening with Calvin Ridley. Right. But
yeah, bigger what if I think is Micah Parsons. If they take Fields, I don't think anything happens. Fields probably doesn't even play a snap this year.
I don't know about that.
They're probably in about the same boat, but if you get a game wrecker on defense like that, he might win a game or two for you, and now suddenly they're in the playoffs.
How about this one? I wasn't planning on talking about it, but let's just dive into it here. That the Falcons are what the Bears would have looked like had they not chosen Fields at quarterback. It's unfair to say whoever starts for Chicago is Ryan. I'm just saying the things that are being equal are veteran.
Just the idea of a veteran quarterback.
A veteran quarterback who is immobile.
Yeah.
Immobile veteran quarterback.
Okay.
Behind a speculative line with just enough weapons to tantalize you a little bit, but not.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the Falcons are what the Bears would have looked like had the Bears not chosen Fields, and that it's possible that the Falcons would have been what the Bears looked like, although I do like Arthur Smith a lot.
Yeah.
Had they chosen Justin Fields. And I don't know what happened in that draft room, but in the same way that we're talking about that sliding door of Penei Sewell or Ja'Marr Chase, and they chose the Chase kid, and that sliding door has opened up into an AFC North championship and a remarkably explosive offense with a huge upside this year and beyond. I'm just wondering what that would have been in Atlanta. That pick at four, you chose a tight end who got in the end zone once and only in London. He was 0-4 American end zones this year.
But nearly set the rookie tight end receiving record.
But those are like empty calories.
It's still significant.
I'm not poo-pooing it.
But if you look at Cincinnati, comparing them to Cincinnati, I don't think is fair because they already had the quarterback in place, already had a kind of a superstar running back in place. Atlanta doesn't really have either of those things in terms of.
No. I'm comparing Atlanta and Chicago, but the idea of just showing you how making the right choice at a top five pick is something that can unlock a door. Nobody was talking about Parsons as a top five pick, so that might be patently unfair.
Really,
but Ja'Marr Chase is different.
Ja'Marr Chase was in the top five pick mix. But you didn't know Calvin Ridley was going to have his personal issues.
Correct.
Heading into the year. Atlanta a little bit better on offense in Chicago. Bears
what
a little
bit
better
on
defense.
What about Mac Jones instead of
Kyle Pitts? But he wasn't going to be the fourth overall pick.
You're still not going to make the playoffs, but you also have an answer. Matt Ryan said he wants to stick around there. He likes the coaching staff. They have changed the culture around there. That's a fact. We're all talking about what's happening with Seattle's quarterback situation, what's happening with
Ryan's never going to be Rogers. A mobile player. He's in the Brady mode where it's just pocket only. Get him some protection. Get him a few more offensive weapons. I think he's got a couple years left.
It's just
left,
an interesting conversation to me here about when you ask me, like, what about Atlanta? You got to still go back to last April before talking about the next few months and what we just saw. But what if they got the right coach?
What if Pitts has 10 touchdowns next year? I think, are we still having the conversation?
I'm more than happy to revisit it.
Yeah.
But in terms of, like, right now, like, would you rather have Chase or Pitts? I mean, that might be, you know, the positional thing. You want to have a wide receiver or a tight end?
But I think it just depends who's throwing the ball.
That's the Atlanta question right here. Problem for them, too, is Brady's still in the division.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. What's the Saints quarterback situation going to be like? Oh, my God, is the offseason going to be, as the kids say, lit?
What about Carolina?
Right.
Questions surrounding the head coach. Looks like he's going to be back.
And Brady might be the only quarterback who stays back-to-back.
Yeah, quarterback clearly not the answer.
For age 45.
By the way, three more touchdowns for Brady. 43 touchdowns, 5,300 yards.
Insane.
MVP.
Age 44. Age 44. All right, we will take a break, and we will end the show talking about my friend Bob. May he rest in peace, Bob Saget. We'll talk about him when we come back. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Terrestrial Radio Network with Peacock and Sirius XM. We just showed a video of November 2017 when Bob Saget was here turkey bowling. He's a guest promoting something that he's doing, and he turkey bowled, and my parents were here, and my kids were here, and it felt comfortable because Bob was family. He was, to me and my wife, Susie. He met Susie first. And it's kind of funny. Susie was out here in L.A. first, working out here. And she told me that one of the first people she met out here was the actor Johnny Silverman, who's tight with Bob Saget. And she called me up and she was like, guess who I met today? And it's like, Bob Saget. And I'm like thinking to myself, the Full House guy, the guy from the video show, like Bob, the comedian? She's like, yeah. The first thing she said to me is, he's so nice. Because that's, you know, that's the first thing that I think you're hearing from all of the outpouring of love and appreciation for Bob Saget is how nice he was, how sweet he was. And then he would open his mouth and the filthiest things would come out of it. And that was his style. That was his sense of humor. And it was so not the guy that you saw on America's Funniest Home Videos or you saw on Full House. But the Danny Tanner that you saw on Full House, that was him too, man. Because he did love, you know, whenever you spoke to him, he did love, you know, the twins, and he did love the cast members, and he talked about, you know, Stamos and Kuye in the same way that he would talk about any members of his family, and everybody felt the same way about him, but he had such a huge heart, and I did get to know him because Susie became such good friends with him, and earlier in the show, TJ, when we played that video of his appearance here in June of 2017, when I asked him his favorite Don Rickles story, and he said, told a story about pigs in a blanket and Craig's and whatever.
And your bachelor party.
And then he joked, I was at your bachelor party, which is a funny line, you know, about pigs in a blanket. But he was at my bachelor party.
Oh, really?
In Las Vegas, Nevada. Yeah. He was. Because I got to know him through Susie and got to know him well through Susie. And plus to basically say, hey, Bob, you want to come to my bachelor party? And he's like, sure. Bob Saget was at my bachelor party. And no, my friends were like, are you serious? Like, really? And they got to meet him and know him. And my brother-in-law was there, too. And he got to meet him and know him.
Scott?
And again, he was just so nice, and his heart was so big. And part of that big heart and his love of life and family, his sister died of an awful, awful disease called scleroderma. If you don't know what it is a group of rare diseases. It affects women quite a bit, more often than men, but it targets the skin and it hardens the skin, and it's just an awful, awful disease. It killed his sister, and he spent his entire public and working life raising money for the Scleroderma Research Foundation. And he would hold an annual event called Cool Comedy and Hot Cuisine. It was called Cool Comedy Hot Cuisine, where he would invite the best chefs and restaurateurs of the area that he would go to and the comedians in town. And everyone would flock. Everyone would flock because it was Bob Askin. And it was a beautiful, funny evening raising money around an awful disease that should not exist. And we'd laugh and you'd cry, and it would all be Bob at the center of it, Bob Saget at the center of it. I remember one time here in LA, he got Kimmel and Leno and Conan to come. And my first thought was, who's doing the shows tonight? They all came because Bob asked. All of them. Always. Because Bob asked. And so, in honor of him, you should please give to the Scleroderma Research Foundation. And he would want me to say that. I can't believe I'm saying this, that this man is no longer with us. He died at age 65 yesterday in his hotel room. Which is such a shame that the man did not have anyone around him, because that's what he loved to do, is have people around him and make them laugh and say the most crass things, usually in song, in lyrics, you know, and people would be like, this is the guy from TV. Like, yeah, that's the guy from TV. But it was also the guy from TV at the same time. You saw, like, his last tweet, it was from Florida, where he was. Love tonight's show. He was in Jacksonville. Appreciative audience. Thanks again. He thanked who opened for him. And that's what Bob was all about, is about helping other comedians, because so many helped him. You'll hear so many stories from comedians saying, Bob was there for me. He was a mentor. I had no idea I did a two-hour set tonight. I'm happily addicted to this. Then he put the S word in there. And he wanted people to go to his website for the rest of his tour dates that he's not going to make now. And so it is such great solace that he passed after doing what he loved so much, which was making people laugh. And he was so great at that. SRFcure.org. Scleroderma Research Foundation, nonprofit organization. That's what Bob would want, I bet. And he would want you to laugh and tell stories about him and stories about your mother and what he would want to do to her and stuff like that. It was just great to be able to call him friend and reach out to him. And Susie and I were making plans to have dinner with him in a couple weeks, and it's just unbelievable. That's the way I wanted to end the show. Love you, Bob Saget. May you rest in peace.